It's very nice to see that so many devotees have come to bless this very important event. We're initiating two devotees into our Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. Srimala Das will be taking his second initiation, and Lakshmi Rani will be taking her first initiation. This is a big step forward for them. And like everything else we do in Krishna consciousness, in order to be successful, we require the mercy of, as Narottam said, Hari Guru Vaishnava. We need the mercy of God, we need the mercy of our spiritual master, and we need the mercy of the assembled devotees. So thank you for coming this evening and giving your blessings to these two devotees. So at this auspicious occasion, we're reading an appropriate verse from the great Bhagavad Gita, the words of the Lord Himself. Famous verse, this is chapter 4, text number 34. Tadviri paripatena pariprashnaya sevaya upadekshanti teganam Jnaninastattva-darshanaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Purport. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord Himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam says, Dharmantu Sakshat Bhagavat Panitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help one to the right path. No independent study of books or knowledge can help one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. So once again, on this holy day of Ekadasi, we are accepting these two students as our duly initiated disciples. Harinam initiation and Brahminical initiation. This initiation ceremony has been compared to a second birth. Our first birth is from the womb of our mother. And that birth, really it's a birth into ignorance. Why is it a birth into ignorance? Because we left Krishna. We left the eternal life of Krishna consciousness in the spiritual world for the temporary life of this material world. The spiritual world is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And the material world is temporary, full of ignorance and suffering. It's not logical. Chanaka Pandit says that you should only give up something if you get something better. So did we get anything better by giving up Krishna? We did the opposite. We gave up the best for the worst. We gave up our freedom to come to this jailhouse of material life. Actually, Sanskrit is such a wonderful language. It's to the point. This material world is called Durga Dham. Durga's envoy of the Lord. She is empowered to rule over this material existence. It's not everything is running in a mechanistic, mechanical way. There are divine personalities behind all the actions of nature. And Durga's in charge. This is her abode, this is her place, and it's called Durga Dham. It means the prison house of material existence. It's a prison. What is a prison? A prison has four high walls that you can't escape. So what are the four walls of her maximum security prison? Birth, disease, old age, and death. No science or technology will ever bring down those walls. There'll always be birth, there'll always be disease in some form or another. There'll always be old age, and there'll always be death, because it's prison house. Durga's husband is Shiva. He's part of the process of creation, maintenance, and destruction. Actually, Brahma creates under the direction of the Lord, and Vishnu maintains, and Shiva destroys. So he's involved here. He's called Rudra. Rudra. And another name for Durga is Rudrani. Rudra and Rudrani. Their names are, because they're married, so their names are similar. Rudra and Rudrani. So Rudrani means she who makes you cry forever. Elegance is truth spoken concisely. This is material life. For the little happiness there is, and we're not naive, there is some happiness here, it's overshadowed by the hard struggle for material existence. So when you're in a prison, you have to wear a prison uniform. I remember reading an article, there was one American politician, he was caught doing a boo-boo, caught doing a no-no. And he had to go to prison. He didn't actually realize it till the day he was practically going. He embezzled some money. He had to go for 3 or 4 years, something like that. He didn't really catch what was happening, because when he got there, he bought a bag of his clothes. He thought he could wear it, you know, continue to wear his neat clothes. He said, "Sorry, buddy, you got to give that up. We'll give it back to you in 5 years. Here's your striped suit." I don't think they're striped now. They're orange suits, so you can't escape. They'll see you. The old days, they were striped. So in the same way, when we come to the material world, we have to put on the material body. We have a spiritual body. You see the beautiful pictures, the paintings, as directed by Śrīla Prabhupāda, of the spiritual world. There's the Lord. He's not formless. He's not a light, he's not energy, he's a person. He has a body, but not a material body. He has a spiritual body. Ishvara Padma Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Satchidananda Vigraha. God's body, his form, is made of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. And you also have a spiritual body. And you're liberated. Form, you have a body. It's spiritual. There's no difference between you and your body. You are spiritual. There goes the cell phones. At least if it said Hare Krishna, that'd be one thing, but it sings some other melody. We have a spiritual body, but when we rebelled against God and we came to the material world, then we got the prison suit in Durga Dham. The material body. So therefore, it's really nothing to be proud about, this body. Just like you see the prisoners, you know, when they get their uniforms, they line up in the mirror in the bathroom. "Wow, look at my prison suit. Look at mine. Mine's got blacker stripes than yours. Now mine's got black and white and a little bit of green there." So we also line up in front of the mirror. "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the most beautiful of them all?" "You are." "Well, thank you." It's nothing to be proud about. Actually, they say beauty's only skin deep. One of my friends, Jack, we grew up together, and we recently met after many years. He didn't know I was a devotee, and I called him up, and He turned out to be a very pious man. We had some great talks. And we're talking about material life, and he had a lot of experience because he was a fireman. And firemen have two things. They put out fires and they do rescue missions. So he's often out, you know, like rescuing people in car accidents and, you know, all kinds of things like that. And he was telling me, you know, you pull the skin away, there's nothing very pretty about the body. He said even the odor which comes from inside the body almost is so foul that it just made his job very difficult. You just peel the skin away, it's nothing attractive. The boy says to the girl, I love you, I love everything about you. Oh, you love my stomach? You love my kidney? I've got a really good gallbladder here. One time, Yogi Bhajan, he was a famous yogi, he recently passed away. He wasn't so bad. I met him once. He said to Prabhupada, Swamiji, I love you. I love you, Swamiji. Prabhupada looked to him and said, I love you too, but I don't skin love you. You know, the body, some material thing. I love you as a spirit soul. So we could go on and on. We've lambasted the material concept of life numerous times, but there's nothing wonderful about this birth. It sometimes makes me wonder why we celebrate birthdays in Krishna consciousness. We don't do that, and we didn't do that when Prabhupada was here. Happy birthday to you. Oh, hold on. Happy birthday. Let's do a video replay. You're in the womb and you're forced out by the air of the mother. You come out and you can't even breathe. So what does doctor do? He takes your two little legs and he puts you up and he slaps your bottom. So that's to get air into your lungs to start the breathing process. The doctor slaps and the baby starts. So aren't first impressions the most important? Welcome to the material world. This is a birth to be celebrated today. This is their second birth. A birth into spiritual life. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that for one who has taken birth, death is certain, and for one who has died, birth is certain. So the result of material birth is death. As the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. But in Krishna consciousness, the result of this birth is eternal life. Punarjanma nividyate, Krishna says. One who attains to my abode, he never takes birth again. So if you're a good devotee, if you're sincere, if you're determined, you go back to Godhead, no more birth. Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip. That's something to celebrate. I think we should start the tradition in Krishna consciousness that we want to honor the Vaishnavas, and we do. And that's the sentiment, of course, behind the birthday. But more in our tradition would be that when it's the day of the initiation, we have the celebration. Today you took birth. How old are you? Well, I'm only 3 months old. Actually, in Vedic culture, on the birthday, what really happens is the person performs penances and austerities to become more detached from the body. And he gives presents. He gives in charity. Western civilization is topsy-turvy, upside down all around. We don't want to incorporate Western culture into our Eastern culture. That's what I'm afraid of. As the years go by, little things come in like that, and then it... Well, they did it in the Prabhupada's disciples did it. Of course, we kind of change it, you know, we try to spiritualize it. May you never take birth again, may you never take birth again. Okay, right. But let us honor this day when they get spiritual father who leads them not into material education but spiritual education. The spiritual father who takes them from darkness to light, from ignorance to truth, from the material world to the spiritual world. That is the father has a responsibility of bringing up the child. So this father spiritual father, his responsibility is fulfilled when he takes a disciple to the lotus feet of Krishna in the spiritual world. And even then, in the spiritual world, one continues to assist his spiritual master in service to Krishna. But he's not appearing as the guru. He's just the senior. And you serve the senior many times removed in pleasing Krishna. So this is second birth. Janame janame shabhe pita mata paya Krishna guru nahi mile bhajahari e. It's a very famous verse. It's in many of our shloka books, but I don't know the source, but everyone gets a mother and father. Janame janame sabhe pita mata paya. Everyone gets a mother and father, but if one gets the benedictions of Krishna and Guru, he can conquer the material energy and return back to Godhead by serving the Lord. So just as the material father gives us the opportunity to take birth by placing his seed in the womb of the mother, that's called conception, into the garbha. The womb in Sanskrit is called garbha. Like we have Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. He comes into the womb, the dark womb of material existence. Why does he have that name? Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. God comes into the darkness of material existence. This world is dark by nature. So the Garbhadang Shamskara means that the parents, they perform a ceremony of purification for the garbha, for the womb, to attract an elevated soul at the moment of conception. And what is the process? Well, they make a whole big thing out of it. Everything in this world is about lust. Really, it's just a mechanical process of continuing the species. That's sannyasi talk. He puts the seed into the womb of the woman, and the ovum and the seed make a little house, and then you move in. What's the rent? You move in. So in a... To use the analogy, the spiritual father, he plants the seed in the heart of the disciple at the moment of initiation. He gives the bhakti lata bija. Actually, that bija is there. You could say, not that the spiritual master plants the seed of devotion in our heart, that seed of devotion is always in our heart. As Kaviraj Goswami says, Krishna consciousness is not something that's to be purchased or obtained from somewhere else. It's always there in your heart. It's just in a dormant condition. Like there's many seeds on the shelf in the shops, and now it's time for planting the spring. So the seeds are not growing on the shelf, but you take the seed from the shelf and you put it in the ground and you fertilize it and you water it and it grows. The potency is there even on the shelf. So by nature we're all Krishna conscious, but we're covered now and the potency has diminished. And the spiritual master gives us the process to activate the seed. What is that? He gives mantra, the watering process. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is our great fortune. You cannot obtain anything greater in this world than to receive the mercy of a spiritual master to reawaken that dormant Krishna consciousness. That is the greatest benediction you can receive in this world. Therefore, Mahaprabhu was... He teaches us how to appreciate that. Na dhanam na janam na sundarin kavicham va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani ishvare bhavatat bhakti ahaitakithoye. What's the greatest blessing? I have no desire for money, I have no desire for the opposite sex, I have no desire for fame and prestige, I don't even want liberation. All that I want is service to your lotus feet. That service is very rare. No materialistic person ever gets it. No yogi ever gets it. No jnani ever gets it. No mayavadi ever gets it. Who are the rare souls who get it? The Krishna bhaktas. And how do you get it? By the mercy of a devotee. So to meet a devotee who can give you that fortune, this is a very special thing. Therefore, Chanaka Pandit says, there does not exist a ruby in every mountain, nor a pearl on the head of every elephant, nor sadhus in every country, nor sandalwood trees in every forest. So therefore Mahaprabhu instructs us, if you find a sadhu like that, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarvashastukoi, lavamatra sadhu sangha, sarvasiddhi hoi. Nowadays by his grace, by his mercy alone, the planet is flooded with sadhus. Previously, it may take many lifetimes to meet, even see a sadhu from a distance. Now you bump into them on most street corners, selling Prabhupada's books. So that good fortune of that guru is that he teaches us how to get out of the material world into the spiritual world. He teaches us the illusion of material life and the reality of spiritual life. People have it all, again, topsy-turvy, upside down, America. The reality is material life, and spiritual life is something just to keep you occupied, or some scientists or atheists, they say, it's just an illusion. Spiritual life's an illusion. It's for old people. People who need a crutch. This is the real life. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And when you're dead, it's all finished. So do any damn thing you want to get what you need and be happy. Whoa, hold on here. No, guru, he says, no, this is not the reality. This is the illusion. The reality is spiritual life, Krishna consciousness. So the first thing the guru does is he points out to his disciple, hey, look, you're down. You got to go up. And you got to stop all this nonsense. Stop all this nonsense. Live a civilized life. Practice Krishna consciousness and go back to Godhead. As Rupa Goswami prays, oh my Lord, I'm drowning in this fathomless whirlpool of material existence. Please, just this one time, extend your hand to save me. So that extension of the Lord's hand is not like a long arm that comes in, like the long arm of the law. It's not the long arm of the Lord, but it's his representatives, the devotees. Anyone who doesn't hear this message of Krishna consciousness and accept it is like a madman. A person who's satisfied to remain in the painful condition of material existence has to be crazy. I remember in the old days of shipping books here in Detroit. We didn't even have books in those days. We had magazines, Back to Godhead magazine. I think the first book that came along was that blue copy of Macmillan, that Macmillan Bhagavad Gita. Now they're in all the antique shops in the temples, so to speak. We had Back to Godhead magazines. We go on the streets and we distribute Back to Godhead magazines right downtown. Many times people would say, you guys are crazy. But Prabhupada, hearing that, many people said that to us in the 70s. He wrote an article, Who is Crazy? And he pointed out the futility of material existence and the reality of spiritual life. It stated that a brahmana, who's the most intelligent of men and women, cannot not tolerate two things. He can't tolerate a place where there's no water, and he can't tolerate pain. A brahmin needs water because a brahmin is always keeping suci, he's always keeping clean. He's always bathing, he's cleaning everything around him, he's doing puja, he's cooking, suchinam. He's very clean. And the second symptom of a brahmin is because he's so elevated, because he's so much in the mode of goodness, he's so sensitive, he can't stand pain. Two things. He needs water and he can't stand pain. Like, I remember Prabhupada's sister, Pashima. When Prabhupada was with us, his sister was living as well, and she looked just like Prabhupada. She was like a lady Prabhupada. It was uncanny how much she looked like Prabhupada, and she always liked to serve Prabhupada. And so I remember just being around her. I remember seeing her cooking for Prabhupada, and she'd come to class, and she always used to carry this little container of water. And wherever she would sit down, she'd purify that place. She'd sit, and when she got up, she would purify it before leaving, because she was very humble. My body has sat here. This is not good. I will purify. This is Brahman. And pain. Can't tolerate pain. One time Karna, it's described in the Mahabharata, Karna was a Brahmana, and he wanted to learn the art of fighting. Because sometimes, if necessary, Kshatriya, and he wanted to take instructions from Parashurama. So he approached Parashurama, in the guise of a Brahmana. He said, I am a humble Brahmana, but times are such I need to learn the Kshatriya warfare. So it is allowed that sometimes under special circumstances, Brahmanas can take up weapons to defend Dharma. So for this special cause, as a Brahmana, I need your instruction. So Parasrama said, okay, he'll give instruction to a Brahmana, but he would never give instruction to a Kshatriya, because Parasrama had appeared to annihilate the Kshatriya race because they were misbehaving. He lived a very long time. Whenever he saw a Kshatriya, off with his head, that these Kshatriyas are all polluted, they're rascals in the guise of royal dress. So he taught him for days and weeks and months, and long time went by, the art of warfare. I'm teaching this Brahmana some war. I'll never teach my secrets to the Kshatriyas, but in this sense I'll teach this Brahmana. So one day, Parasrama was feeling very tired. So he laid his head down on his disciple's lap. He laid his head down on Karna's lap. And Karna was sitting there like this, and his guru, his martial arts guru, was there with his head. And suddenly one very vicious insect, in India you get all these weird kind of insects, this insect came and started to bore through the thigh of Karna. And he's sitting there with his guru, but he's thinking, I don't want to disturb my guru, he's my guru, I don't want to disturb. So he just tolerated the pain like a Kshatriya could do, because actually he was a Kshatriya. And that bug went all the way through, and there was blood dripping there, and they went away. Tolerated for my, because he was Kshatriya. Parasrama woke up later and he looked, oh my gosh, what happened to you? Oh, Gurudev, one insect has borne through my body, but I tolerated for you. Karna stood up, or Parasrama stood up. You rascal, you're deceiving me. No Brahmana could tolerate that pain. You must be a Kshatriya coming to learn some extra martial arts from me. Off with your head. So Karna had to run, because Parasrama knew a Brahmana could not tolerate a situation like that. He doesn't like pain, and therefore that's symptomatic, actually. He cannot tolerate the painful condition of material existence, so he does his best to get out of here. He's smart. It's all suffering. One time, Prabhupada, after coming back from a tour, he said, I've been everywhere and seen everything. One disciple said, What's your conclusion, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, take sannyas. It's all suffering. And a Brahmin cannot tolerate to see others suffering. He's not just concerned about his own welfare. He tries to free himself, and he tries to free others. So this is the guru's business. Guru's business is only to deliver us from material existence. And we need his help, because we're all suffering. Tvam na sandarshito datta dushtaram nishtitirshatam kalim satvam haram pumsham karnadara ivaranam. If you meet such a person who's willing to deliver you from this painful existence, you can say, just like the sages of Naimisharanya said, we think we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross over the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of man. That person we can follow, who can lead us out of this painful existence of material life. But as we were speaking with one boy earlier in the upstairs room, he said, it's hard to find that genuine soul. And I said, yes, because in this age there's so many charlatans, so many pretenders, it's difficult. How do you know who the real one is? You know by Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, because the bona fide spiritual master, he's not saying anything new, he's just repeating verbatim what is there in Shastra and leading an exemplary life to show you how to practice that philosophy. But beware of the charlatans. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati once said, if we don't follow Guru out of material existence, we will follow Gauru into material existence. He corrected his disciples one time. They were chanting the Guru Vashtakam prayers. Bandego, Bandego Roshi Charanaravindam. Bandego Roshi. You know the American accent? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. It's all right, Krishna knows the intention. They weren't saying Vande Guru Shri Gauru, they were saying. So Gauru means cow. Prabhupada said, don't compare your spiritual master to a cow. I offer my obeisances to my cow. The lotus feet of my cow. No, Guru. Gauru means cow. And Bhaktisananda Saraswati once told the story. He said, once a man was going to see his father-in-law, and he got lost on the way. And he asked the cowherd boy for some help. So the cowherd boy said, well, we're out in pasture here, but the place with the corral where these cows are kept is in the same village as your father-in-law. So just hold on to this little cow, this cow here. Hold on real tight. So that man held on to the tail of the cow, and that cowherd boy whipped the back of the cow. Whoop, and that cow went speeding off, running. And instead of taking, you know, the straight and narrow path to the goal, he went through all the over hill, over dale, as we hit the dusty trail. He started going here and there and across the rocks and back across the river. By the time that man got to the village where he was going to meet his father-in-law, he was all cut up and bruised and, you know, bleeding and broken arm. And so this is a favorite story of Bhaktisananda Saraswati. He said, it's the same way if we follow the person who's not the proper representative of God, we'll be led through material existence, not down the sublime path of devotional service. So what is the straight and narrow path that this bona fide spiritual master leads us down? What is the way? Harinama Harinam Harinama Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva 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 Gatiranyatha. The chanting of Hare Krishna. He says there is no other way, no other way, no other. Nashdeva, 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 Nashdeva. Not by bhukti, not by any materialistic way of life, we'd be freed from this world and awaken your love for God. Not by yoga, you just get to play with the material energy in a subtle way. Boom, one planet. Boom, you destroy a planet. Boom, you become lighter. It's all childish, playing with the material energy. Not by jnana, by which you'll merge into the effulgence of God. No, none of those paths. What is the straight and narrow way? Not through the brambles of yoga and the rocks of jnana and so forth. What is the way? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. The spiritual master just isn't, by having a guru, it's not that you get delivered, it's not that you get bhakti. He gives you a process. Krishna explained Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He said, armed with knowledge, stand and fight. Not just by getting initiated. You get the knowledge by which you can extradite yourself from the material world and into Krishna's devotional service. That's why Prabhupada said, my only complaint is my disciples don't read my books. We have to hear from our spiritual master. Now all glories to science and technology. Uh-oh, Maharaj went off in his lecture. All glories to science and technology. Hey, wait a minute. Take him off the stage. Take him off the Vyasasan. He lost it. All glories to science and technology. All glories to iPods. No, you really got to take him off the Vyasasan. He's really lost it. All glories to Mac computers. I got a Mac. I say it in almost every lecture. I never go back to a PC. So, why? Because now they've got 160 gigabytes in an iPod. That's, you can put on everything Prabhupada ever said on that iPod. You can put all the recorded videos and footage and whatever there is about Prabhupada and all of Prabhupada's books on that iPod. All the books, all the videos, and all the lectures. All glories to Steve Jobs. There's no excuse for not hearing regularly from Guru and Gauranga, from your spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada. There's no excuse. In previous ages, you know, you had to go to the ashram and sit, and then on your way home, remember, and then contemplate. And, you know, how many times did Prabhupada actually get to speak with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati? It was few. Now, we're blessed by science and technology. Of course, we won't go into the bad parts, but the good part, the good news is, we can constantly hear. We can hear the process, and we can apply that process and free ourselves. It's not just by wanting to go back to Godhead. You go back to Godhead. You don't get anything in this world just by wanting it. Oh, I really, really want it, Mommy. Well, go out and work for it, boy, my mom used to tell me. After I was, of course, a young boy. When I got 15 or 16, I want this. Well, now it's time. You go and you work for it. You get it. I want to go back to Godhead so bad. Well, you have to work for it. There's a process. That process is chanting Hare Krishna. Many times Prabhupada said, if you just chant Hare Krishna and you follow these regulative principles, you know, you can go back home, back to Godhead. Of course, that's the foundation, and from that everything else is coming. So here's the gift that we're passing on today to our disciples. Yes, we are taking responsibility to take them back home, back to Godhead, but the onus lies on them to accept the process. Not the disciple can just sit and do nothing. We have to be very active internally and externally in Krishna consciousness. Busy like bees the rest of our life in Krishna consciousness. Then there's a chance that we can make it. The spiritual master is just like, you know, the medley racer. There's a medley race where they four people actually run around the track. First, you know, one guy goes around, then he passes the baton to the next, and he goes around, that's the next. So the Guru Parampara is like that. The message of Godhead has come down like an Olympic torch from time immemorial, from one spiritual master to the next, down to the present day. And what we are handing you today is infinitely more valuable than that prestigious Olympic torch, which the Olympic torch will, if you follow the Olympics, you'll just be more in the bodily concept of life. But this is the torch of knowledge. Om Agyan Timarandasya Ginangina Shilakaya Chaksuru Militam Jainatasmaj. I offer my obeisance. I who is standing in the darkness of material existence do offer my obeisances to my spiritual master, who has opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. And once you see the path, you have to walk it. The torch lights up the path, and then you walk it. So what is that illuminating torch? What is that torch the Guru gives us, which will illuminate everything like the sun lights up the daytime? What is it? It's not just a metaphorical thing. What is it? It's very simple. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. What does it do? It burns up all the sinful reactions that have accumulated for millions of lifetimes. It uproots those nasty desires that come between you and Radha and Krishna. Lust and anger and greed. And in that fertile ground, it awakens that bhakti-lat bij, that seed of devotion. That we cannot even begin to understand how nice that is. We cannot even begin to understand. One time a devotee was... They were having kirtan, I think, in the New York temple. And afterwards, Prabhupada was there. And then one devotee said, Prabhupada, that was ecstatic. Prabhupada looked at him. You do not even know what is ecstasy. It's all there waiting for us if we're strict in the process. Very rare, but it can be achieved. Previously, even just freeing the heart from sinful life was sinful reactions was difficult. That's called prayaschitya. There's a whole section in the Vedas. You live your whole life just to become freed from the sinful reactions in your heart. A whole life just for that. A few fortunate souls may have done that. Then a few of them continued and got anartha nivritti, got freed of the material desires. A few. But how many actually achieved love of God in previous ages? Whew. Therefore, Krishna concluded, not long ago, Krishna concluded, only 5,000 years ago, He said, Manushyanam sahasresu kaschid yatate shidhaye yatatam apishidhanam kaschim mam veti tatvataha. Out of many thousands amongst men, one may endeavor for perfection. And out of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one understands me in truth. Wow. That verse was spoken just 5,000 years ago. Hardly one understands. So what's the hope? The hope is this Maha Mantra. The hope is Lord Chaitanya. That by chanting, taking this gift of Lord Chaitanya through the Guru Parampara, you can do more than just cleanse your heart of sinful reactions. You can do more than just uproot the material desires. You can awake prema, love of God. Amazing. In one lifetime. Krite yad hayato vishnum treitayam yashato makai dvapare paricharyayam kalotad dhari kirtanad. Whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifice, and in Dvapara Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, can be obtained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nam, Hare Nam. So knowing this, who would not take the opportunity? Of course, if you don't know, you've got an excuse. But if you know, you've got no excuse other than to fully embrace this process. If you don't know, okay. But if you know, if you've heard the word, and people, it's getting harder to have an excuse because we're distributing so many books all over the world. We're having so many classes, so many festivals, so many Rathyatras. People can't say, well, I didn't know. Hey, wait a minute. Harinama harinam, harinama eva kevalam. Kalo na stevana 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 gatir anyatha. Just like, it's like this amazing opportunity, just like after holidays they have sales. You know, after Christmas, after New Year's, after Easter, they have sales. I was just in Australia. After Christmas, they have the biggest sale of the year. Between Christmas and New Year's, they have this, they call it Boxing Day. Everyone just, I mean, it's crazy. For 6 weeks, they've been all buying presents in a mad rush for Christmas. But statistics show that people spend more money between Christmas and New Year's buying presents than they did the 6 weeks leading up. This is the madness of this world. Buy, 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 buy. Consumer. And what, but why? Because there's a sale. You can, the same thing that costs so much, you get it for, you know, dirt cheap. So you could say in Kali Yuga, hey, there's a permanent sale going on. What you couldn't get very easily in Satya Yuga and Treta Yuga and Dvapara Yuga at great expense, you could say, with great difficulty, you can get it really easy in Kali Yuga. Really easy. What was achieved in those other ages can be achieved in 100 years. And that's like a sale. It's a bargain. So we should expect, you know, that we just fling the doors open and all of Detroit's at the door, let us in. But unfortunately, kalo shudra shambhavan. People are not interested, so much interested in spiritual life. But we know, so there's no excuse. It's a great bargain. And you know what? It's not only dirt cheap, it's absolutely free. The most precious thing is free. In Kali Yuga, they make the most insignificant thing, you know, the most valuable thing. They make it appear like, it's so stupid, but you pay lots of money for it. But in Kali Yuga, in spiritual life, the most precious thing, which can give you all those things we discussed, it's free. Well, not completely free. You have to expend a little pradana, a little air. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. Therefore, Rupa Goswami prays. He gives us some idea of the result of this chanting. Now that we have become your devotees, my Lord, your holy names have affectionately created a jubilant festival in our mouths. Your bodily splendor, like a dark rain cloud, has become the black ointment of our eyes, and the music of your flute has become the ornament of our ears. We no longer take pleasure in material desires. O Almighty Lord, material desires no longer appear beautiful to us. So today we pray that Lakshmi Rani, in particular, because she's getting this gift of the holy names, and Sri Mala Prabhu is getting the Gayatri Mantra, which gives us extra strength, they'll take full advantage of this wonderful process that's coming down from our Guru Parampara. They'll take full advantage of this sale and not only free their hearts from all sinful reactions, not only uproot the material desires, but in this very lifetime, fully awaken their love for God and go back home to the real world, the world of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.